Let me just say this too about our praise team. On Friday night, our praise team led us in song for 90 minutes. Can you imagine singing for 90 minutes straight? They did that in an effort to raise funds for the food shelf. And that concert produced $1,200 for the food shelf. So thank you. Praise team for doing that, and thank you to the rest of you for contributing. I am going to invite up front right now a brother, a pastor, who happens to be in charge of the Verndale Christian Academy. Come on up here, Brother Kenny. The Verndale Christian Academy, he is going to tell you about for 5-6 minutes, is just getting going. Pastor Kenny has been there for a lot of years, but our board learned of their endeavor and wanted him, we're going to need that, wanted Kenny to come and tell you about what they have going on at Verndale Christian Academy. Make welcome Pastor Kenny for a few minutes.
Good morning. As you said, I'm Kenny Childegard. I'm the pastor of Christian Education over at Verndale Area Christian Academy. And thank you for having me here. So Verndale Area Christian Academy was started as a preschool daycare back in March of 2018 with the hopes that someday we would start an elementary school. And last year we've been praying, and we've been praying for the right person to step up to take over the academy. And I stepped down from 16 years of kids pastor to become the head of the academy. So we launched kindergarten first grade last fall in the midst of a pandemic. And I am glad to say that we are having a great time. We have 7 students right now. That one thing we have learned about the private school is we do not have to follow the state mandates that the governor has set forth. So good or bad, however you look at it, we've had kids, they've been there all year. They didn't have to go home. They didn't have to wear masks if they didn't want to. And it's been a great thing. And these kids are doing amazing. Their grades are up, and the parents are just loving it. So it's our heart to expand that. We would like to start K through 6th grade in July this year. So a little difference about us, we are a Christian school in Verndale. We're going to be a year-round school. Now all the kids are like, oh no, what? Oh no. But it's not quite that way. So we are going to actually be starting July 12th as our first day of school for the 2021-2022 school year. But we're going to have 9 weeks on and then 2 weeks off. And we're going to follow that pattern. And so, and then they get the whole month of June off for summer because a lot of kids' camps and stuff are going on in June and family camps, and we want to support that. So, I am here today to, we're asking all the churches to help out. The great thing about school, or private school, we get to do basically what we want. We have very few mandates that the state regulates, where teachers have to meet certain credentials, which we would want them to. But for that, we kind of like it that way. The downside is we do not get any state funding at all from the state for our school. As we're the public school, any of those of you involved know they get quite a bit per student. So it is our heart to keep tuition as low as possible. We set the tuition rates this year as a step of faith. If you pay weekly, it's $98 a week. We wanted to keep it under $100 a week for your child to attend our academy. It is our heart that no kid ever gets turned away from our school. And I truly mean that. We had one family that came and has their little girl want to start in our school. And she's like, I can't afford your tuition. And I approached her. I said, well, pray about it. What can you afford? She said, well, I can afford $300 a month. I was like, okay, we'll take it. And we took that as a step of faith, and we moved forward. And that little girl's doing great. She loves it at our school, and the mom's ecstatic. And we're doing that just as a step of faith. And so what we're asking churches to do is support our school. We would like support monthly if we can, but also in as sending your children to our school as well. And that's not something I take lightly. Doing 16 years of kids pastoring, I know the weight that comes to teaching young children, because it doesn't take much, and you can get their theology off a little bit. That's going to affect them the rest of their life. And so we have some amazing curriculum. We have BJU Press. How many of you have heard of Bob Jones University? Yeah, very popular, good Christian college. We are using the curriculum they developed. It is written from a biblical worldview. And so the difference between a secular one that they use in school, like Christian schools, they use the curriculum from the public schools because they can get it for free. But the issue with that, it's still written at a secular worldview. So the curriculum we're using is written from a biblical worldview. Let's see. The other thing we love about our school is our teachers. They're God-fearing Christians. They love the Lord. And that's something that we look when we go to hire our teachers. They have to have a relationship with the Lord. They need to be attending a church. They don't have to attend our church that we're at. And one of the other benefits is that we are in a church. And Family Life Church in Verndale has kind of spearheaded this, and we've had other churches come on board to help us out. I know Pastor Roy over in Staples, their church has come on board, and they're going to be supporting us. And so this is only the third church I've been to now. So we're brand new. I'm going to be back in the lobby after service and after both services. If you guys have any questions, please do not hesitate to ask. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Kenny, and may the Lord bless that effort in that Christian school in Verndale. In your bulletins, there's a lot of names, like always, but I would invite you, if you have a pencil or a pen or something, write two more names, please. Josh Solemn. Josh has been here with us from time to time. His dad has been here a lot lately. Josh was in an automobile accident and was in the St. Cloud Hospital, and so we neglected to mention that last week. But Josh Solemn should be on your prayer list. And the other family is a family southwest of Staples by the name of Jason Jairs. You may or may not know Tony Jairs. Jason, father, son, tragic, tragic accident on the farm Thursday night. Three-year-old died in equipment. And so we would ask that you pray for this family. The Jason Jairs family lost their three-year-old Thursday night. So please be in prayer for those, as well as all the rest of those that are on the prayer focus. Let's go to the Lord and just seek Him now. Father, we thank You for the privilege of prayer. God, I don't know what we'd do if we couldn't cry out to You. And so here we are, Father, crying out to You with praise and adoration for who You are. Thanksgiving for this Easter season, this time that we reflect all over again Your great love. We love the verse, Father, and it's so true for us and applicable at this time of year. While we were yet sinners, because of Your love, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so I pray, O God, that we in churches, but multitudes that are not in church would understand and sense and process that this season, all over again. Lord, thank You for all that have come this morning. Thank You for those who are listening online. Thank You for other churches that are gathering all around our communities. Father, will You lead us by Your Spirit? Together we want to lift the name of Jesus and bring glory to You, our Heavenly Father. And Lord, You know the names on our prayer focus, the names that we have just talked about. We lift them up to You. Some are hurting very deeply. We pray for them today. Draw them near, O God. It might be a tragic death, like was this little boy on a farm. It might be cancer came back. It might be a new diagnosis. It might be some other death. It might be 100 other things. Father, we lift them up to You because none of it is too much for You. We trust You, Lord. We love You. We surrender to You. And we ask minister to these, our friends, in the name of Jesus. Father, I would pray this morning, too, for Pastor Kenny and the Verndale Christian School, the Life Academy there. Father, I pray that you would lead them, that you would guide them, that you would bless them, and it would be a great thing for these communities, a great option and opportunity for children to learn in that Christian setting. Bless them, Lord, we pray. Guide us as we look at Scripture a little while. We ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as Pastor Charles said, we're almost to the Easter season already. It's hard to imagine. I wondered this week as I was pondering Easter, do you recall what you were doing last year on Easter? May I remind you, you were sitting at home. There was about five of us here broadcasting via Facebook Live because the entire world was shut down at the time. Even for Easter, we were told we couldn't come together. And I for one am so thankful when I look out and see people want to come to worship. I thank God for that. I thank God for the opportunity we have to come to worship. Amen. I am thankful for technology. You know, we got the cameras, we got the Facebook options, whatever. I'm thankful for that. But the Bible says in Hebrews 10 and 25, let us not forsake the assembling together of the saints. We need to come together. And so I'm so thankful that this season we can do that. I'm going to get to it. If you got your Bibles, Exodus chapter 3 is where I'm going to start, just for a verse or two to set the tone for the New Testament verses. If you've got your Bibles, Exodus chapter 3, three verses, beginning at 13. You know the scene, I know that you do. The scene is Moses encountering God at the burning bush. It's a great story. And as you read in that story, Moses is wrestling, not physically, but verbally, with God, because God is asking him to go back to Egypt. He left Egypt 40 years ago. You remember the story. He's now been in the wilderness tending sheep. He encounters God at the burning bush, and God says to him, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt. I want you to lead my people out of bondage into the promised land. I think you know the story. There's a wrestling match verbally there with Moses. He's basically saying to God, kind of like Jim did a long time ago when Jim was being called in the ministry, you've got the wrong guy. That's what Moses was saying. And he had all these excuses why you have the wrong guy. So anyway, we press on in this conversation, and we get to verse 13. Then Moses said to God, indeed. Okay, so he's weakening. He's pondering, if I go back, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? You remember the story, right? Yes, this means yes, Jim, I remember the story. This means no, I don't know. I can tell you more. I can tell you more of the story. What shall I say to them? What is your name? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Does that just not give you shivers? Gives me goosebumps. God said, I am who I am. And he said, that's God to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Moreover, God said to Moses, Then you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations, the Lord said. Now, I should have asked Kenny or Pastor Charles if they know Hebrew, because I do not. I can see what it says on print, but I'm not a Hebrew scholar. But when you look at what God said there in the original language of Hebrew, I'm not even going to try to say it, but the phrase is, I will be Yah. In other words, I am Yahweh. Okay, you still with me? That's what he's saying to Moses. Tell him, I am God. And so Moses has this in his mind. The word Yahweh itself speaks of God's self-existence. Always was, always will be. Tell them, I am has sent you. Now, fast forward, John chapter 8. New Testament, John chapter 8. There's a lot in John chapter 8. The setting is Jesus teaching at the Feast of the Tabernacles. When you read through John chapter 8, there's all kinds of things in there. The story of him pardoning the woman caught in adultery. The claim that he makes in verse 12, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In verse 21, he mentions to them, I am going away. He's talking about his death. He's beginning to talk about this often, more often. And in verse 21, same chapter, he says, I am going away and you will seek me and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So he makes all these claims in chapter 8. And as he presses on in chapter 8, he's talking to Jewish people. You can see from verse 13, I think it is, he's addressing scribes and Pharisees and Jewish people, and he begins to talk to them about their heritage, and more specifically about their father. Of course, they claim Abraham as father, and biologically speaking, they are right. They are connected to Abraham biologically. And anybody in that time would have supposed, because I am connected to Abraham by lineage, I am automatically connected to God, because Abraham's people are God's chosen people. So they would have assumed they are, in fact, in good grace and right standing with God simply by blood heritage. So they're having this conversation. You can read all about it, John chapter 8. I want to go to 39. I have a point here. I'll get to that in a moment. And pick up the story at that point. They, that's the listeners, some of which were scribes and Pharisees, answered and said to him, that's Jesus, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Now, you've got to read the chapter to understand what he is saying here. He is going to get real direct, real pointed, and I hope that you will read the chapter, because in saying that, Their assumption was, and they're going to say, God is our father because we are connected biologically to Abraham, and Jesus is assuring them that your father is not God. You do the deeds of your father, and he clarifies that for them in another verse that I'm not going to read. You can read it. He says, your father is actually the devil. You say, Jim, that's a little harsh. That's what Jesus said. You see, brothers and sisters, we are either following passionately after God the Father because we have surrendered completely to God the Son, or our Father is the devil. That's what he said. You say, Jim, I thought we were all God's children. We are God's created. But until we come to that realization, and I'm going to get to this in just a moment, of who he is and claim him as Christ, as Lord, as Savior, as Messiah, denying ourselves, surrendering our lives completely to him, until we get to that point, Jesus said to these who claim God and claimed Abraham, your father is still the devil. That's what he said. Then they said to him, I'm still in verse 41, we're not born of fornication. We have one Father, it is God. Jesus said to them, here's a phrase I want us to ponder for a moment. This isn't the punchline yet, but I want us to ponder it anyway, because it's a good phrase. Jesus said to them, I'm in verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Let us just drill down on that for a moment before I get to where I want to go. I believe, and I'm not the only pastor that thinks this, I believe life for the passionate follower of Jesus in America is going to change drastically. I believe with the current emphasis on things like the Equality Act, I was talking to a brother of mine this morning about that, the emphasis of this administration, I believe the time is fast approaching in America where a separation is going to be happening, a purifying is going to be happening, and we are going to have to decide, am I going to follow Jesus or not? Because my faith will get tested. I believe we are on the verge of things that we have never seen in Christian America before. You say, Jim, what's that got to do with anything? Because when he said to the Pharisees, who were the religious of the day, he could have been saying to us today, if God is really your father, you will follow me because you love me. We are going to have to decide, is Jesus the one I love or is self the one I love? That's what he said to these people who thought they had all the religious answers. If God was really your father, you would love me. And we will have to ask ourselves the same thing, brothers and sisters. Is Jesus Lord? Is God really my father? Because the time may come, it has come to other parts of the world, all over the world, where their faith is tested, and they are even asked, are you going to follow Jesus? And they may have a gun or a sword put to their necks around the globe, and they're posed this question, we are going to have to decide, who is our father? These Jewish folks assumed in their religion they were a shoo-in into the kingdom. And may I say this before I go on? Jesus is not a religion. Jesus needs to be Lord of our lives, or we're missing the truth of who he is. When I have put my faith and trust in religion or church membership or something else, we're in the same category of these people that had a form of religion. And we talked about this from 2 Timothy chapter 3 just a little while ago. But deny its power. Paul said it would happen. Having a form of godliness and denying its power. These people who assumed all is well with God because I'm a descendant of Abraham. Jesus makes this claim to him. If God were your father, really? If God were your father, you would love me. It is all about Jesus. And then in verse 56, I still have yet to get to the point, but I am going to get there. In verse 56, Jesus said to those listeners, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." The Jews in response, verse 57, said, "You're not even 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, depending on what translation you have, it might say verily, verily. It might say emphatically. It might say most assuredly. But Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Are you still with me? You remember what God said to Moses at the burning bush? "Tell them, I am has sent you." Who should I say, God, that has sent me? I am has sent you. And Jesus comes back to the religious people of the day, the religious elite of the day, who figured they had all the spiritual answers. He said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham ever was, I am." And the Bible says they took up stones. They took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Listen to me for a second, friends. These people knew about Yahweh. These people knew about the burning bush. They knew the story of Moses. They knew the claim that God had made to Moses at the burning bush. "I am who I am." They knew it. And for Jesus to come along and say this, to make this bold proclamation, "Before Abraham ever was, I am." They don't have too many choices left at this point. Are you with me? They either fall down because they realize this is God. They fall down because realize he is in our presence. That is a good option. They didn't choose that one. I wonder sometimes, do we? We come into this realization, we're handed Jesus. We're learning about Jesus. Either you're reading about it, or the Spirit of God is moving you, or you're listening to a Christian radio or something. You're presented Jesus. What are you going to do with it? When he made this statement, you can't leave that statement on the table and do nothing. "Before Abraham was, I am. Really, really appropriately right now, for them to fall down and worship the living God would have been good. They didn't choose that. They assumed another blasphemer, pick up stones, stone him on the spot. That was their choice. When we are presented with this eternal truth, we must do something with it. You say, Jim, what are you saying? We cannot leave that statement on the table and do nothing. We cannot be indifferent about that claim. This is the one who will go to the cross in a few short weeks and die. He said, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, he's saying to them, I am deity. I am God in the flesh. You can't leave that claim on the table and do nothing with it. You can't be indifferent about that. Something must be done about that statement. You say, Jim, I believe in God. The people of that time were indifferent. There were the scribes and Pharisees that took up stones and wanted to stone him. They want him dead because he made this claim. There were people that took up the stones. And there are people in our society today that want to take up stones when you mention the name of Jesus. I don't want to hear about your Jesus. In this community, in this society, there are people that have the same mentality. And then there is the crowd. I maintain falling down and worshiping him would have been good. And that's what we should do when we encounter this claim. Before Abraham ever was, I am. We must do something. We have to deal with that claim. We cannot walk away indifferent. And yet, it seems so many walk away indifferent. Now listen to me, friends. I'll wrap it all up. They claimed God as their father. We got that, right? They claimed God is our father. And Jesus comes back with them and said, if God was your father, you would love me. We remember that, right? We do. Okay. They claimed God as their father. And Jesus made clear to them, God ain't your father because you do not love me. That's the fulcrum point. Jesus is the fulcrum point. He is the pivotal point. God is not your father, he said, because you don't love me. And so I'm asking us today, friends, do we recognize his claim? Do we recognize the claim when he said, before Abraham ever was, I am? Do we recognize the claim of this pastor, this Galilean, who said, in essence, I am God? And if you say, Jim, I recognize it, then what are we going to do with it? What am I going to do with the claim, before Abraham was, I am? Jesus said to this crowd, if God was your father, the result would be, the evidence would be, you would love me, Jesus said. And I ask us this morning, friends, does my or your love for Jesus even show? Does anybody around us know it? If God were your father, Jesus said, you would love me. Is he going to be first when push comes to shove and the government says, you can't do that, church? You can't say that, Jim. You can't say that, believer, in your workplace. Is my love for Jesus going to show then? Are we going to be like the Pharisees, claiming God as Father and not having any love for Jesus, God the Son? That's what I'm asking us today. What do you do with that claim? You can't leave it on the table. You can't be indifferent about it. Well, you can be indifferent about it. You can go through life shrugging our shoulders and say, well, that might be okay for you, Jim, but that ain't okay for me. I really don't need to address this claim. You can go about life that way, but I assure you, at the end, it will not go well. They missed the light of the world. He said that to them in this chapter. I am the light of the world. And they missed it. To these people in that crowd that day, Jesus was nothing more than a blasphemer, a liar, some delusional lunatic making claims like this. When Jesus made this claim, he claimed to be God in the flesh. And they saw him as someone that should be stoned. He claimed to be greater than Abraham. He claimed to be before Abraham. He claimed a deity. And with this claim, these listeners had to make a decision. They had to decide, what will I do with Jesus? They had to. And so do we. They could not look upon Jesus any longer. And this claim, and do nothing. And neither can we. Either he is Lord or he is lunatic. You can't be in between. We can't look upon a claim like this. We can't hear a claim like this before Abraham ever was. I am. We can't look upon that claim and do nothing. This claim is too much to ignore. This statement begs the listener for a response. What will you do with Jesus? Let's get ready to sing that last song. Friends, I'm not talking about, and Jesus isn't talking about here, when he said, if God was your Father, you would love me. I'm not talking about, I made an appearance at the altar one time, Jim. Although that may be where it starts for you, a surrendered faith in Christ. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about being good. I'm talking about processing that claim and dealing with it. What have I done with Jesus? He's the only way to eternity. He's the only way to be connected to God the Father. Have I repented of my sin, believed in these claims, and received him by faith as Lord? Because if I haven't, I'm in the same crowd as the Pharisees that said, God is our Father, and Jesus assured them, no, he's not. You can read all about the details when he said, the devil is your father. And so I'm asking this morning, whether we're listening online by Facebook Live or we're sitting here, I'm asking us this morning, friends, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with the claim, "Before Abraham was, I am"? This is God that is about to die for our sin. Have you trusted Him as Lord? Have you surrendered everything to Him? Nothing else will do. If you're not sure, then get a hold of one of us. Several pastors here today, besides Charles and I. If you're not sure, ask us so we can help you in your journey. You're navigating the waters of life to claim Christ as Lord. Nothing else will do.
Father, we bow before you this hour and ask, Holy Spirit, that we will find that moment, perhaps today, that we will bow before you as Yahweh, as the one true living God, that we will bow our hearts to your Son, Jesus, as Savior, as Lord, and as Master. Father, we hear today the strong words that you will only be accepted if we will call you Almighty God. Father, if we will accept your Son, Jesus, that is the only way for the relationship. Father, we pray as we move forward today that we will live Christ to the world, bring others to salvation through Christ, and help us, Father, to be sold out, radically obedient to you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.